This is The Camp with Zach Heilprin and The Athletic's Jesse Temple.
Yes, welcome into The Camp. 10 practices into spring ball for the Badgers. We'll talk a little bit about what we saw on Thursday and then on Saturday. They'll be back on the field Tuesday morning. But we do have hashtag breaking news, Jesse. Wisconsin has added to their offensive line through the transfer portal. It is former Vanderbilt offensive lineman Leighton Nelson. And he is a guy that obviously is very familiar with A.J. Blazek, having played for him the last 2 years. We knew that they would be looking to add offensive line simply because of some of the youth and the lack of depth behind the what you would say is a pretty experienced first-team unit. They went and added to the depth here a little bit with Leighton Nelson.
Yeah, they had to have some help on the offensive line, like we've discussed throughout the spring. They have four guys who have a lot of playing experience. All of them are working with the first-team offense. Joe Brunner is the fifth guy, and that all makes sense. And then you go down the list and look at the second team and then the third team, and got half a dozen walk-ons roaming those position groups. And the guys in the second unit are true freshmen or guys who have played six or eight snaps in their career. So to get somebody that not only has at least a little bit of experience, but familiarity with Blazek, is important to fill out the depth. And hey, you never know what's going to happen during the season. The offensive line was pretty fortunate last season not to have a ton of injuries beyond certainly the Jake Renfro situation. But that's a quality piece that you can add to a position group that desperately needed it.
Yeah, I know. Last year was not the norm along the offensive line in terms of injuries, because they got drilled by injuries in 2022. And they had, like, I think, how many different lineups did they start in 2022? I felt like it was like eight or nine different lineups along the offensive line the year before. And then last year, they were able to roll with that same group throughout almost the entire season until the bowl game, when obviously, I think Trey Wettig played in a couple games too, but until the bowl game where Jake Renfro stepped in at center because Tanner Bordellini didn't end up playing in it. They need the depth. This is a guy who has been in college for a couple of years, which is a couple more than some of the guys that are in the two deep at this point. So we'll see exactly, you know, where he fits in. Do you think he could come in and take part in spring ball right away?
I don't think so.
Because he's not in school.
Enrolled.
Actually, right?
Yeah. I've never heard of that as far as the spring transfer portal window.
Yeah, but you think back to winter.
Yeah, those guys, the semester was over. So
nope. Okay. All right. I'm spitballing.
I could be wrong, but I feel like I'd be surprised. And for those wondering where he could hypothetically play, didn't play a ton of snaps, but just looking at the Pro Football Focus numbers, he played 24 snaps at right tackle and two snaps at left tackle. So on the other hand, if you come in and you're 6'6", you're small to play tackle at Wisconsin. I'm kidding mostly. But they need more in the second team unit. And so again, a pickup that you had to have somebody, and he's the guy.
Yeah, he was rated by On3 as the number 38 offensive tackle in the country coming out of high school. Comes out of Florida, had offers from a number of Power 4 schools. That it's a pretty good offer list, and it also includes Cincinnati in there. So obviously, this group is familiar with him past just what A.J. Blazek has, his experience with him. So yeah, the offensive line gets a little bit of a jolt because they needed it, because they lost three guys along the offensive line and we talked about this last week, about how guys that were either going to compete for time or compete for starting time or be key backups, like Trey Wettig, as I mentioned, Nolan Rucci, Dylan Barrett was the backup center. So there were, second or third team center, however you want to look at it, guys that they counted on last year as depth, no longer around. And they didn't really replace those guys outside of the freshmen that they're bringing in. So who knows if those guys are going to be ready. Certainly we've seen them get a lot of reps this spring with Kevin Haywood at left tackle and Colin Cupperley playing all over the place. He may be the new Tanner Bordellini. He got reps at right tackle with the second team on Saturday. He's played center. He's played guard. He's been all over the place. So he feels like mostly an inside guy, but they're working him in a bunch of different spots to try and maybe find the best spot where he can help them as early as possible. But it is a spot that definitely needed a little bit of, I don't want to say veteran. Yeah, I know you said how many snaps? You said 30.
Well,
I know that he's
it says he played 60 snaps on Vanderbilt's bio, but that right. includes special teams.
Special
snaps.
Teams. So yeah, okay.
He played one snap as an inline tight end blocker, 26 snaps on the offensive line, and 33 snaps on the field goal extra point units.
All right, so 30 snaps then. All right, cool. That's more experience than what Wisconsin has at some of those spots. So it's right. It's a nice depth addition. And another guy that was at practice the other day was Joey Okla, the Illinois transfer, a guy who's from Wisconsin. It feels like they may be looking to add even further along the line. We'll see how they go about that. Going back to practice, Jesse, on Thursday was an opportunity to see some new faces step in because obviously Nick Evers gone and TJ Bowler's gone, allowing some other guys to get reps. And I think a guy that maybe has stepped up and has been given more opportunities now that TJ Bowler's is gone is Elijah Hills. Again, one of the transfers that they brought in, a guy that could potentially jump into that two deep, and they're still looking. I know Luke Fickell said after practice on Tuesday, they're still looking for guys to step in behind what is James Thompson Jr., and Curtis Neal and Ben Barton, they're still looking for some other guys to step up.
Yeah, you don't know how many defensive linemen actually going to play. Last year, of course, all the talk was having, what did they say, 8 defensive linemen, which felt impossible then and obviously was impossible. But it seems like he could potentially be maybe that 5th guy. We certainly know based on what we've seen, the top group is James Thompson and Kurt Neal when they have 2 defensive linemen on the field, and then Ben Barton when they have 3, Cade McDonald is kind of next in that mix. And then Elijah Hills, I thought, especially on Tuesday, which was the first practice after TJ Bowlers announced he was entering the transfer portal, Hills really took advantage with the second team unit. And again, another caveat there is it's against reserve offensive linemen, which, as we've said, has left something a little bit to be desired. But he was very productive at Albany. They brought him here to be able to help out, and I think he has the potential to do that.
So the other spot, obviously, is Mabry Mattire getting more opportunities with the third team. He's not that he was necessarily even sharing reps. I think we've kind of joked about it. Like, yeah, they said that they were sharing reps between him and Evers. They really weren't. It felt like Mabry was getting more, and now he's getting them all because Cole LeCrew is still unable to practice at this point. So it's pretty much just all Mabry Mattire. And I think that's good for him, and that's good for his development. There were a couple moments on Saturday where, you know, the ball kind of jumped off his hand that I don't know that I've seen a ton of from him in the spring. I think the confidence is starting to pick up, and that certainly comes with more reps.
It's pretty much a best case scenario for a true freshman early enrollee at quarterback. You're not going to come in as a freshman enrollee, at least in my experience, and maybe there are some schools out there, as the guy, as the starter. You've got 3, 4, 5 scholarship quarterbacks in a room usually, and guys who are ahead of you, but now he doesn't have to share reps in whatever capacity. And you're right, by the end, when Nick Evers decided to transfer, it was not a 50-50 split, but he can just run the third team and know that he's going to get all those opportunities and not have to take those so-called mental reps. The talent and the skill set clearly there based on what he did in high school. You just need some time to get used to this offense under Phil Longo and get those reps. And so it's a very important spring for him. And based on the way things are shaping up, that's potentially your third team quarterback going into the season, unless Wisconsin does something in the portal that we're not expecting right now.
So practice on Saturday was not fun for the people that had to watch it. It probably was fun for the players, but it was not fun. It was cold. It was the exact opposite of what the previous Saturday was, where people were getting sunburned. This time it was the wind, very cold. It was wet. It wasn't very appetizing weather to be in, to watch practice. But it was, in my opinion, by far the best practice that Tyler Van Dyke has had at Wisconsin. There were just a couple of throws that he hasn't necessarily made on a consistent basis. And there was no, like, huge mistakes. There were no interceptions. There were no, like, you can't make that throw right there. There were a couple of throws where I don't even know how he got him through like that type, that kind of tight window throw. He had a 45 yarder to Will Pauling in the Skelly drill, which isn't real football, right? Like you just don't, it is what it is. There was another one between him and Pauling, about 30 yards with Hunter Waller bearing down on Will Pauling, where I thought like if it was real football, he may have gotten the crap knocked out of him. And who knows if that ball is caught, but it was a great throw and a great catch between those two. It feels like they're starting to find a little bit of chemistry between them. He had a throw. It was only for 10 yards, but he hit Quincy Burroughs, and Quincy Burroughs had no choice but to catch it because otherwise it would have killed him. That's how fast the ball was coming between a safety and the corner, put it right where it needed to be. He also had another one like that to Bryson Green as well for about 12 yards. And then there was this throw rolling to his right. There was a holding call, so it got called back, but rolling to his right on the move and just threw an absolute beauty to Kyan Barry Johnson with the second team. That was just a great throw and a great catch and a great hookup. And I thought by far it was the best of what I've seen from Tyler Van Dyke at this point.
Well, this is the kind of practice that I think he needed, if not for, certainly, I think for himself at least a little bit, but just to show this is why they went out and got him. Because based on the first few weeks of spring ball, like we talked about, it just felt like neither Van Dyke nor Braden Locke had done enough to establish himself. And I'm not suggesting a single practice means that Van Dyke is the guy, but I feel like they need some separation between those two guys, just for the sake of having a better sense of who could be number one. And I know Fickell has talked about the fact that it's been really challenging because both those guys have been rolling with both the ones and the twos, and that makes it hard to develop continuity. Just like Fickell compared it to the offensive line, you know who the five guys are going to be with the first team offense. So I think it's an encouraging sign, and I'll certainly be looking to see whether he can continue that over the last five spring practices.
Yeah, that is the thing. Like the first, I don't want to say the first 9 or 10 practices, but it was this way last year where like they're installing stuff. And so there's a lot of thinking going on in the first 10 practices, and maybe it's a little bit easier here these last five where you're just going out and playing. And I mean, if that's the type of play you're going to get consistently from Tyler Van Dyke, you're going to be in a good spot. You're going to be able to move the ball, and you're going to be able to have success offensively. It just hasn't been there on a consistent basis. And whether that, I mean, in Braden Locke has been kind of the same way. It's not like Braden Locke was bad the other day. It was just Tyler Van Dyke made some throws that just haven't necessarily been there through the first 9 or the first 8 practices that I got to see. And there were 9 practices before, but we missed the first one. I think what we saw there, if that is who he can be on a consistent basis, Wisconsin will be in a very, very good spot. Offensively. But can that happen? What do you think? With Van Dyke, can he be that consistently?
I have no idea. The thing is, his career at Miami has been uneven. And I kind of go back to sometimes that thought of, you are what the film says you are. And I mean, it's not all his fault. But he's 15-13 as a starter at Miami. I know they've had multiple offensive coordinators, a new one every year for him. So he's had those great moments where he was the ACC Rookie of the Year, and he's been benched twice as a quarterback, but he's also had injuries. So it's an impossible question to be able to answer right now. And spring practices really can't give us that full answer. But if he can just start to have a little bit more separation between he and Locke and be more consistent, at the very least, you would feel a lot better going to fall camp, which is going to be even more important for him to establish himself, not only as the guy, but as someone who can go out and win you games. Because I think that's another part here is Wisconsin's bringing him here not to just be another quarterback, to be able to be somebody who can win Wisconsin some games in those moments, not be the game managers that we've seen of the past. So I think he has it in him, but I can't answer definitively whether that means that's who he's going to be this season.
Right. Okay. I wanted to jump into some of the stuff that we got to talk about with the players here, right? We got to talk to the tight ends, got to talk to the cornerbacks, got to talk to some of the safeties this morning. There was something that jumped out to me based from what Austin Brown today. He was asked, where can the defense improve from last year? Like, why will it be better? I mean, there are a number of new players, but he specifically pointed to the outside linebackers and the ability for them to make plays is where they could be better defensively. Do you think that could be the difference between what they were last year and getting back to what Wisconsin football was, or what Wisconsin defensively was, had been prior to last year?
Well, I think it will be a major difference. I think, yeah, I don't want to pin it all on one position group because everybody needs to be better, but what has helped to make Wisconsin's defense special here over the last decade is having some of those edge rushers who can be consistently disruptive and put the defense or put the offense in a really bad third down situation where it's an obvious passing situation. Wisconsin can just dial up more pressure. I think CJ Getz was a serviceable player, put up good numbers as, you know, the outside linebackers coach whose name escapes me. Oh, as Matt Mitchell said, played more snaps than they would have wanted him to. And that was largely because they just didn't have what they felt was necessary depth there. But now you've got guys in Leon Lowry and John Pius, who based on what we've seen so far have been extremely consistent and disruptive. And so, but I think that impacts everything too. You get more pressure on the quarterback, then the quarterback's going to have happy feet and throw some balls and windows that he probably shouldn't. And that means the defensive backs are going to have more opportunities to make plays. Because what is one of the things that Hunter Woller talked about when we talked to him today is wanting to be somebody who can make more of those so-called wow splash plays, the types of things you see in the Sports Center top 10. Well, you got to have more of those opportunities created from your teammates too. And so I do think that, I don't know how big of a difference it'll make in terms of wins and losses, but if the defense isn't better this year, I would be very surprised.
So the outside linebackers, you mentioned Leon Lowry, you mentioned John Pius. There's obviously Darrell Peterson as well. And then there's some questions, right? Unfortunately, after having what, you know, appeared to be a pretty good spring, or was having a pretty good spring, they lost Aaron Witt to a shoulder injury or an arm injury. His arm was in a sling at practice on Saturday, which leads to a little bit more time for some of the younger guys, a guy like Thomas Herberger and Lefele. I'll be honest, Lefele was another guy that kind of jumped out at practice on Saturday, had a couple of sacks. Now, again, you have to at least couch that by saying the second team offensive line, especially the tackles, are young guys and still developing. But that can one of those would do you anticipate one of those two stepping up? Because right now, as much as we want to see Aaron Witt out there and as much as we want to see him have success because of what he's gone through, if he's not able to be on the field, you need more than three guys. Like, if you don't have more than three guys to play out there, then you're going to run into the same issues you ran into last year.
I feel like Heiberger is probably better positioned to be that guy just based on what we've seen so far. I've seen him get some of those second team reps if Aaron Witt isn't on the field, but it's asking a lot of a true freshman to come in and do it. But sometimes those guys just need the opportunity, even when they're not ready. We've seen that happen a lot over the years. We're seeing it even with the second team unit and Kevin Haywood as a tackle, getting reps that maybe you would not necessarily get if you had more depth. So it's possible, but they're going to be at a disadvantage in some regards because physically it's awfully difficult, especially as a true freshman, to match up against some of those tackles. But I think athletically, there's a reason why they went and got Heiberger, and we've seen it on occasion, the way he can track down a play and kind of cut off angles and make life difficult for the tackles.
I also think, I know we can't get into specifics about it, but I also think, like, a guy like Jaheim Thomas on Saturday, there's a little time spent outside in pass rushing situations. Mm-hmm. So I think where you have a lot of bodies and a lot of bodies that you want on the field, inside linebacker, potentially you can get some of those guys on the field in other areas. And it feels like Jaheim Thomas would be a guy that could come off the edge and provide some pass rush if you don't want to necessarily play those younger guys, or if those younger guys aren't ready. He could be a guy that could come off the edge and give you something out there.
It makes a lot of sense. You've got to utilize your talent, and that's obviously the coach's responsibility is to figure out how best to do that. But when you've got five plus inside linebackers who are capable of being key contributors, you want to try and find unique ways to get them on the field. And if that means you've got more than two inside linebackers on the field and they're just playing different roles, you absolutely have to explore it. So that is another good way for Wisconsin to shore things up at another position if they need to.
I think it's also interesting. Taka Curtis loved Wisconsin, right? Like, he really wanted to come here, but he also wanted to play inside linebacker. And Wisconsin kind of viewed him as more of an outside linebacker under the previous staff. And he is at inside linebacker. He hasn't been practicing a ton as he continues to come back from that offseason surgery. But you just wonder if he's another guy that could maybe help them outside if he's not getting time inside.
I would want that guy on the field in whatever capacity as possible, but it starts with him being healthy. And I mean, I feel like I've only seen him go full tilt in one spring practice. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah.
So it's hard to get a gauge on where he's at, but we know the accolades out of high school and the recruiting story and the fact that he was a starter for 8 games at USC last season. Like, that naturally leads you to believe that he can do it here right away. But it's tough to say exactly how he fits in when we just haven't been able to see him practice fully for very much this spring.
So the guys that they're lining up against sometimes, the tight ends, do you think a guy like Jackson McGone, who had a touchdown the other day on Saturday, though I think it would have been a sack. If you look at Wisconsin's social media, you would have seen Jackson McGone scoring a touchdown. Pretty sure Braden Moore would have sacked the quarterback. It's irrelevant. He got open. He has been more involved, certainly, in the offense, at least in some of the reps that he's gotten. And Tucker Ashcraft just got back, too. So you have to at least mention that. He hasn't been a huge part of it. How big of a role do you envision these guys having, as a group?
That's obviously another key question with the offense. They obviously are saying the right things, that they feel like they've got more versatility in the room. And that may be true, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to translate to a bunch of catches. They still have a running back room where they're going to rely heavily on not only Ches Malusi, but presumably Tui Walker. And if a number three running back should emerge, they still have some quality wide receivers. You'd love to see them have someone who caught more than 11 passes and be the leading receiver at tight end, because that's what Hayden Rucci did last year. I think Ashcraft and McGowan are two guys to me that can do that. Now, Riley Nowakowski has earned a ton of praise this offseason and this spring. Obviously has a background as a fullback, can do a lot of different things. But I think you can get somebody with length and athleticism out there that can make it a challenge and a mismatch for some of those guys trying to defend them. So if nothing else, having the go and flash this spring has been really good because it gives you a taste of what's possible this season.
Yeah. A guy who probably, unless there's injuries, probably won't play a ton, but I've been impressed with in the roles that he's been asked to do. And that is Grant Steck. He has been a big target for Mabry Mataire in that third group, especially when they're in their red zone periods. He's just huge. Like that, like the first thing that stands out about Grant Steck is just how big he is, but he runs really well and he catches the ball really well for a guy his size. And I think he could be a red zone force going forward, but I also think he's obviously going to have a role as a blocker. But to me, when I look at Grant Steck, that looks like to me, like the future of the position. And we haven't seen a ton of Booker lately. Luke Fickell said they've had some injuries. I don't know what the injury there is. I haven't. Usually when injuries happen, they have those guys on the sideline rehabbing. I have not seen Robert Booker out there doing that. So we'll see. But either way, Grant Steck, to me, that's the future of the position.
Having someone who's 260 pounds who can put dudes on their butt
and catch it like him.
Yeah, I mean, I really like him. I mean, you list off the 11 true freshmen early enrollees that they have, and his skill set is extremely exciting. And so I just think there's a lot of room for movement in the tight end group if you're someone like Steck, because none of these guys have established themselves as here's the tight end who's going to get you 30 catches next season. I don't know if they have that, and that gives a guy like Steck a better opportunity.
Yeah, again, it's a group that I like going forward, but this year it feels like, and JT Seagreaves has gotten some time too, but it feels like it's going to be a Nowakowski, Seagreaves, or excuse me, a Nowakowski, Ashcraft, and McGowan, like those three, I feel like are going to get a bulk of the reps. And then Seagreaves is also probably going to be there somewhere as well. But I do wonder if we see a lot less 11 personnel, or I should, 11 personnel this year. Like maybe they like their wide receivers so much that they're getting them more on the field. Because when you look at that, I want Trish Kekahuna and Will Pauling on the field as much as possible. I don't know how you feel about that. And then, and you know, I guess you could put them outside. I know that a lot, they've gotten kind of like pigeonholed into being just slot inside guys, but I want those two guys on the field. And if that means less of Riley Nowakowski or that means less of Tucker Ashcraft, I think I'm okay with that.
I also think we have an opportunity to see guys used as blockers in different ways. I mean, they've got guys in the running back room who can be really good blockers, and you can just use them as a blocker and still have Ches Malusi on the field. And that's another way to get into things. But yeah, of course, I want to see the most explosive, the best playmakers on the field. And based on what we've seen, Pauling and Kekahuna are those guys. So it's like baseball. You want, I want to see a bunch of home runs. I don't want to see a bunch of singles. So would I like to see a 3-yard run or a 30-yard pass? I think we know the answer.
Right. Yes. And it's, and look, it's not necessarily just lining those guys up in the slot either. I think they're, we've seen them line up in the backfield, and that could be another way to get the ball in their hands. But it was interesting hearing Austin Brown talk about them, and like, cause he's having to face them, right? He's having to go against them on a daily basis, being in the slot as the nickelback and being the, having to do that. And he was asked like, what's the toughest thing having to do with that? And it's the, it's how far, how low they are to the ground, cause they are a little bit shorter than he is. And the inability to kind of read their hips, and whether they're going inside, whether they're going outside, they're just extremely difficult to read. And the same thing, he actually, and this is kind of a, I'll give a nod for you because you're the basketball guy here, but kind of like the way that Will Pauling runs, it's kind of like going between the legs and dribbling between the legs. You don't really know which way he's going to come out of that.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of an interesting comment that Austin made when we talked to him about, he compared it to a guy crossing over with a basketball. And I mean, that's one of the things that can make you really special as a wide receiver is keeping a defensive back on his heels consistently. And so it's no surprise that those guys are so challenging to defend because of not only their speed, but their cutting ability.
So Wisconsin's got 5 practices left. They'll be on the field on Tuesday morning. When you look at these last 5 practices, is there anything that you're going to be focused on outside of maybe the quarterbacks?
Yeah, it's hard to know whether there's going to be a bunch of new developments over the last 5 practices. I think it's more building on what guys have already done. But yes, quarterback would be number one. Can one of these guys start to separate himself a little bit more? And just what do some of these 2 deep situations look like? It kind of feels like we've got a pretty good sense of who a lot of potential starters could be, but they continue to rotate at a bunch of different positions. So I don't know if there's one thing in particular beyond quarterback, because quarterback's just the most exciting thing usually.
Yeah. I mean, I think we focus so much on starter versus second team. And at this point, like, is there a huge difference, especially at like a position like wide receiver or at outside linebacker? Or even at corner, where we've seen Amari Snowden get some reps with the second team defense, and we've seen RJ Delancey getting some reps with the first team defense. Is there a huge difference between the ones and twos at this point, do you think? Or is it like certain spots are set? We know the offensive line, if they stay healthy, that's going to be the offensive line. But is there a huge difference between the being a starter and being a two when it comes down to some of these positions, do you think?
So I think there's a big difference at several positions, but there are other ones, and this is what they've been striving for, that idea of 1A and 1B, where it's the gap is a lot closer. And outside linebacker certainly is one that stands out, like we've talked about. Inside linebacker, too. I mean, they've got, how much time have we been talking about Jake Chaney this spring? Not very much. And Had a great season last year and has put himself in a really good position this year. So I think it's pretty close at inside linebacker, at outside linebacker. You know, cornerback, I'd be more inclined to say there's probably a bigger difference with the top group, but not everyone's been healthy. And so that also complicates things. But if nothing else, it's given some of those guys more opportunities, and that creates better competition. But I think that's a good sign for Wisconsin that at a lot of these positions, you can roll through too deep and feel like you're going to be comfortable out there.
Yeah. It should be interesting to play on. Wisconsin, again, has five practices left. They'll be on the field Tuesday morning. They'll be on the field Thursday morning, and then we'll be back to talk about those two practices and whatever else pops up as the transfer portal is in full swing, and both comings and goings, I'm sure, will heat up as we get closer to May 1st and the deadline to enter the portal. So, Jesse, thank you very much.
Thanks, Zach.
All right, there he is. Jesse Temple from The Athletic. You've been listening to The Camp.